And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you this November 8th, 2025. And I say good morning. And good morning, men.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here this morning. I appreciate it. Will, would you open us up with a word of prayer this morning, please?
You bet. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for another Saturday morning. Lord, we thank you for just blessing us with such a wonderful creation. And, Lord, the technology to be able to get together in three different states that spans this glorious nation of ours. And, Lord, we know that your truth is broadcast not only in this nation but nations all over the world, Lord. And we just pray for blessings over this broadcast, Lord, as we labor for the kingdom. And, Lord, we ask for guidance, and you put the right words in our mouth, oh God, as we talk about world events and talk about our people, oh God. We just pray that this will be a blessing to those folks out there listening to us, oh God, that they know they're not alone in the struggle of living in this wicked and fallen world and facing the enemy every day. Lord, just strengthen us to do your will in all the days of our life, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's another Saturday morning, and it is hard to believe. I don't even know what happened this last week. It's crazy. We were just working in the print shop like crazy. Did get the newsletter done, completed as of late yesterday evening, so praise the Lord for that. That is was a task, and but did get that ready, didn't get it mailed. It'll be Monday before I can get it mailed. Yeah, that was it was a crazy week around here.
Wow.
Here too.
I think it was everywhere. I mean, every time I was hoping to get a chance to talk to these men, and it was like, yeah, everybody was just really busy.
It's that trying to get ready for the winter stuff, you know, type thing.
Yeah, and it is definitely, fall is definitely here. I'll tell you what, we've had the wind like just like crazy over the last couple of days, and about the time you get the leaves raked up and taken care of, there's another batch of them that comes through, and oh man, just the I mean, crazy. Last night it was I got up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and went and checked just because it was so windy that it was just shaking the house. It was just it was insane. But oh well, one of those things.
Well, at least it keeps the trees pruned, right?
Oh, man.
I guess.
Yeah, I know. You just got to watch out. Yeah, remember, and it's like, okay, where did I park the car? Where did I park the tractor?
Yep.
Oh, well.
And the leaves are, the struggle with the leaves is real. We blow the deck off, and then about 15 minutes later, and it doesn't even look like you did anything.
Yeah, exactly. So. I know. Oh, well, one of those deals, but definitely interesting. Okay, let's start with international news, world news. EU to establish Ministry of Truth, Guardian. Tell me about this, guys.
I think the name's interesting. Takes you right back to that 1949 book of George Orwell's. You know, there were, what, four ministries, truth, love, peace, and plenty. And they were all exactly the opposite of what they claimed to be. So I have little doubt in my mind that this is the same situation.
The one thing that, you know, reading over this, and this is the same Ursula von der Leyen, the head of the EU, if you remember, we talked about it several months ago. This is the old gal that stood up in front of the world and said that the Talmud was, you know, the chief influence over Europe. Y'all remember that?
When, I do.
When she talked about the Talmudic influence in Europe. And so, you stop and put that full circle. So this is the old hag that was, you know, telling in Brussels this week about this Ministry of Truth. Well, several months ago, she was telling us that the Talmud is the guiding influence of Europe. So whose truth do you think is going to be administered in Europe? To me, what I look at this is just this is code for if you speak out against the state of Israel, they're going to come down on you like Thor's hammer. That's the way I see it. So,
right. Well, I thought one of the quotes that was interesting was she said by spreading deceitful narratives, sometimes including manipulation and falsification of historical facts, they try to erode trust in democratic systems. And, you know, one of the quotes out of that book that I was just talking about was who controls the past controls the future, who controls the present controls the past. And, exactly who's spreading what deceitful narratives, you know, and manipulation. So they're so worried about it. It's like we want to manipulate it our way. So, yeah.
Tim, you may know more than me, Tim, or Jason more than me. I'm doing this off of memory, but George Orwell, the guy who wrote 1984 and Animal Farm, you know, these novels, his real name was Eric Blair. And he was, and I may be wrong on this, but I think I'm right. During World War II, he was an OSS intelligence agent who worked on behalf of the British government. And one of the things that he did was intelligence analyst on or analyzing intelligence on communism. And so even though these books are written in novel formats, I really have to think that he saw what was coming based on the information that he had. In the position that he had. And I think, sadly, he read the blueprint a long time ago and knew what kind of house they were going to build. And here we are today.
Yeah, I agree.
I would agree.
Well, and I think that, yeah. I think it also shows you that the timeline has been altered because he had reason to believe, according to the information that he had at the time, that 1984 was probably about when many of these things were going to happen, and here we are in 2025, you know, so the time frames are definitely different, and really the advent of a time frame doesn't matter. It's just the events that matter, but it's pretty amazing that, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who haven't read that book, just like there's a lot of people out there who haven't read the Talmud, you know, I mean, so... it's amazing to me how many people yap out there who don't have any idea what they're talking about. You know, it's like, oh, so you've read that? No. Well, then what do you know about it? You know, I mean, I was told. So go ahead.
I'm gonna throw the protocols of the learned elders of Zion on there too, as just, you know, people have opinions on that, but they've never cracked that book. And while we're talking about it, let's go ahead and talk about scripture too. That, you know, there's lots of people who have been told things, or they've heard things, or listened to, you know, whatever, but they've actually haven't cracked. I know Jason and I were talking this week offline you know a lot about what's in a devotional, but did you actually read the red letters of what our Savior told us, his actual words? And I would venture to say there's a lot of folks out there that who call themselves Christian who don't know what the red letters say.
Yes, very apt. And I just had a talk with a young guy here that is around quite a bit, and he was talking about he's got a son. You know, he got married, had a son, and he's talking about I don't want my child to grow up without God in his life. You know, and you know what. What church or where do I, you know, how do I get involved in that kind of stuff? And I think that, you know, you can point people to our ministry, you can point people to things like that, but these people with absolutely no experience, I think the first thing they need to do is pick up the word and start reading, you know, just start at Genesis 1 and and read through there. And if there's something you don't understand or something that doesn't make sense to you or speak to you, just keep on reading. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times that the answer lies on down the line somewhere, you know, or whatever. And if God opens your eyes and your ears and your heart to his understanding and everything, that stuff will become apparent to you. So, yeah, start there. Get some boundaries. Amen. And some ground. But, yeah, ministry of truth, really. It's just, what a slap. So,
hey, for the record, I know we're not the European Union, but I think Scriptures for America is the ministry of truth.
Well, we certainly
try
to put God's on it. Yeah.
we're like that without the doubt mute.
Yeah, we don't really want anything to do with that.
No. Speaking of Talmud, I'm sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Will. That's fine.
Speaking of Talmud and all of that, Turkey, the country of Turkey, has issued an arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu. This is legit. This isn't like a figurehead political move or whatever. I guess they're. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at that, but they've looked at the genocide in Gaza, and they have the chief public prosecutor in Turkey has secured an arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu.
I bet you he stays out of Turkey.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't go to Turkey. Has secured an arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu.
I bet you he stays out of Turkey.
I bet he doesn't go to Turkey, Far East, and that sort of thing. So my understanding of trying to use Google Translate on a lot of Turkish newspapers so I could try to figure out I bet he doesn't go to Turkey, Far East, and that sort of thing. So my understanding of trying to use Google Translate on a lot of Turkish newspapers so I could try to figure out, well, this is a legit criminal arrest warrant for Netanyahu. And I know we've talked about this, but and I always look for small wins, right? You know, everybody wants the big win. I think this is a small win. I think this is more evidence that the stranglehold that the state of Israel has on world influence is crumbling. It's that grip is lessening, it seems like, every day. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Yeah. I
would agree 100%. I think, and it wasn't just Netanyahu. It was one of his defense ministers and several other of the people involved in the several
National
other higher
security ministers.
Yeah.
The defense minister, the Israeli Defense Force chief, and the Navy commander. Yeah,
36 in all, I believe. 36,
yep.
I think there was 36 other. So you're not even going to sit your lackeys over there very easily. Yeah, exactly. So, kind of a wow.
Well, and I think that it's just, I think it's huge. And it's I really feel like the state of
So you're not even going to sit your lackeys over there very easily. Yeah, exactly. So, kind of a wow.
Well, and I think that it's just, I think it's huge. And it's, I really feel like the state of Israel, I've seen that stuff, popping up all over the place. And people are talking about it. I've had, in the last couple of months, I've had at least 5 or 10 people asked me what I knew about the USS Liberty. And, you know, that's huge, you know, and people are diving into this. I mean, there's students that are bringing it up in schools. There's, you know, it's being talked about. There's videos out there that are popping up, you know, on Instagram and on social media and stuff, and people are talking about it. So I don't know. I'm encouraged by a lot of it. Like you said, these, you know, wins, you know, we want that big victory. But, man, I tell you what, I really feel like there is a lot of truth getting put out, and they're getting exposed. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Yeah, and sometimes I think we have to go, what does a big victory look like? You know, I mean, it's like a lot of times little as much when God is in it. And I think that, you know, frequently, and that's what we're saying here too, by the way, but is that, you know, it's just their own, that light is being shown on them, and they're being revealed in all their glory. You know, I mean, you're talking about the Liberty incident, Jason. I thought it was interesting that, you know, we have a, what the U.S. is talking to the U.N. about an international security force in Gaza, but, and creating one to, I don't know, ensure the safety of civilians and humanitarian corridors and training a new Palestinian police force. But I'm assuming that's because the old one was blown up, but by the Israelis. But one of the things I thought was interesting in there in regard to the Liberty was that they're saying that they believe the resumption of IDF strikes on the Gaza Strip doesn't violate the peace agreement. And I don't know, do you guys think that's kind of like saying we're going to, I mean, friendly fire, put our guys in harm's way with this UN peacekeeping force? I mean, with the
I do think that.
Air strikes on the Gaza Strip through all this, it just seems kind of, I don't know, cray-cray to me, I guess, if you want to call it that, whatever the word is you want to use. But it's like, yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, they're not very careful about what they blow up. Go ahead, bro. So.
No, you're 100% right. And I think time and time again, all across, you know, back in the good old bad days of when the blue helmets were everywhere, it seemed like they were everywhere, right? They were in the East, they were in Africa, they were doing all of this sort of stuff. I'm talking about during the Clinton era. You know, one of the ones that I remember, because it was the book and the movie, you know, Black Hawk Down and all of that. Well, the weapons that those Somalis were using were from the United Nations troops that, you know, abandoned and that sort of thing. That's a little different than what you're saying, Tim, but what I'm saying is just the mere presence there could cause a false flag accident or whatever you want to call it that only pours gasoline onto a fire. They're not really peacekeeping anything. There's no real peace there. What they're doing is fanning the flames of more conflict. I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, and if they're doing it, if they're doing airstrikes and your guys are running around on the ground, I mean, that's they're just not very accurate or very careful about what they decide to. I mean, we've seen that in this infrastructure fight over here. We've talked about it. They're blowing up hospitals. They blow up, you know, help centers. That's one of the other things is we've just been given, we're supposed to be taking care of all of the aid centers over there and everything else. And it's like, it just seems to me like we're kind of putting ourselves in there for targets.
And I guess that's kind of what my point I was trying to make is I think we are putting ourselves in there for targets on purpose. But I think it's going to get spun as it was whatever boogeyman that they want you know, it's the Lebanese or whoever it is that caused this. And, I think that's what it is. We often talk about cannon fodder and collateral damage, but that really is what I see happening is, you know, there'll be some major event over there involving these UN troops. And that's just going to be the open door to more of a full blown war over there. And for the record, Tim, I went to school with a black kid named Cray Cray.
Okay. Yeah. that's a little bit out of my age, description, you know, using those words. But I was just like, you know, it just seems totally nuts to me. It's hard. And
no, it is. Yeah.
I don't understand.
That.
And I think you're right. I mean, it's an opportunity for them to, to make the scenario back to the Ministry of Truth again. Really, I mean, they'll spin it off however they'd like to. So,
while we're on the subject of Israel, I just got a text message, not from Israel, but I got a text message saying, "How is it that Israel is still getting our money if the government is shut down?" And I have an answer for that. That is because Israel, like a lot of things, like our own federal law enforcement, our own federal war department, the troops and all that, they are exempt from the shutdown. This is written in to the shutdown, right? That they're picking what they're shutting down. Well, the money that goes to Israel is considered more important than food stamps, or, you know, national parks or whatever. So the correlation there of what I was told that needs to be said on air is, understand Israel and supporting their mission of genocide is more important than your tax dollars feeding American citizens.
Right.
So,
yeah. Hey, dang, that's well put.
Yeah.
Definitely, and more important than whether airplanes stay in the air or anything, too. You know, I mean, they're talking about, all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And, I know. I was reading through that article on and it's just like, okay, really? I mean, it's like you think about all the things that we've got going on here in the United States, and we're really worried about what's happening over there.
True. Yes. Yeah, there's all kinds of ice problems and riots and lots of issues with keeping airplanes in the air, and lots of issues with AI and everything else going on here, but that doesn't matter.
Well, and it looks like everybody's trying to mimic or have war games over there in United Kingdom again, talking about, I guess it's war games against Russia. What I can gather, it's just interesting. I mean, it's so hard to keep track of everything that, you know, all the countries that have gotten involved, and it's a mess. It's a racket.
Yeah, it's definitely steered, and I've seen some reports on, they're talking about drones flying all over Europe, I guess drone sightings, all over the place, and different spots in Europe. And it's interesting to me how, you know, originally the breakup of the Soviet Union was economic surrender. I mean, basically the country was sacked and there was nothing left. And then they're like, okay, the communists, who are basically, or Jews, Bolsheviks, goes back to, if you do your research, you'll find out. But they basically threw up their hands and said, yeah, we pretty much wrung it out. We're done, you know. And suddenly we have all these Baltic countries and everything else over there that are, you know, they want to simulate this war with Russia. I mean, now Maduro was talking to Maduro, I think the Hungarian, he was like, talking to Trump, and he said, well, it'd be nothing but a miracle if the Ukraine could win this war. I mean, there's no way. And it occurred to me while I was reading some of these that there's been a great deal of restraint on Russia's part over the Ukraine. I mean, yeah, they could have just went in and probably made a burning hole out of the place, but that's not what they're trying. You know, not what they're trying to do. I mean, I don't understand. There's obviously other things at play here, at least from their point of view, than they're portrayed as or pretended to be by everyone else in the world. So, you know, how much of this is just banter and saber rattling for the rest of the world to cover up their problems or, you know, make changes they want to make. So that's why they need a ministry of truth.
That is exactly the reason. I thought of something. And if you guys, you know, this is, anyway, I'll just say what I was going to say. It seems like we're headed for another world conflict.
Yes,
that's what it seems like. That's the way we're the people who pull the strings. And I'll say this as I'm talking: it's important to remember who rules this earth, and does the evil that they do. And I started going back in my mind with years, timelines, because I like to do those things, because I'm a guy who believes in trends and the revolutions of trends, that what is old will become new again, and more importantly, that our enemy works on timelines, generational timelines. And so I'll go back to the American Revolution, which is was a bloody war that was, and we talked about this on the show, that wasn't just British and colonists fighting each other. You know, there were Germans and there were French, and you know, there it was many nations, kings of many nations lining up to see who was going to control this new world. Well, 80 years later, because that was in the 1780s, 80 years later, we had a repeat of that on our soil with Lincoln's War of Northern Aggression, where once again, we had the French and we had Germans, and we had the British, and we had obviously the warring sides within this own country. And then 80 years later, we had World War II, where the world lined up again, now not on this soil, but across the ocean, where we were having a multi-theater war in Europe and in Asia, with the same old suspects that had started this and pulled the strings. Well, folks, we're 80 years past that. And we haven't had a world conflict in the last 80 years. And I do believe in timing, and I do believe in our enemies using timeline. And I don't know if y'all thought about that, but we're about 80 years past World War II now. And I think the enemy knows that, and I think they believe that the field has been plowed and the seed has been seeded, and it's time for another world conflict. And I think what we're seeing right now is kind of the birth pains of what that next war looks like. And we should pay attention to that, because I promise you, it will affect us here at the homeland. And so when Jason is talking about, you know, the British that's in Norway right now with these Baltic countries and these Scandinavian countries, and they're pretending to be at war with Russia, and when you see Russia entering into weird treaties with like South Africa and Brazil and these BRICS nations and India and all of that, we should be paying attention to that, not in a spirit of fear, but in a spirit of knowledge, so that we can have the wisdom to know what is coming so that we can prepare for it. To me, that is very important to say, and I want to get it said.
I agree 100%. Yeah, good point. And I think that we do need to pay attention to this stuff. I mean, it's like, and that's exactly what, when I've been reading through this stuff, it's like, man, we're headed towards a world conflict. I mean, I mean, the writing's on the wall.
Technically, it's probably already here. Nobody's just really called it out. You know, I mean, the official declaration or whatever, you know, our words but never everywhere you look, I mean, are wars and rumors of wars. I mean, it's just it's pretty much And
let's go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Hey, Warren, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was just going to put in a couple of comments on you know, the government shutdown and stuff. Probably kind of a praise report. Actually, I don't know how many times I've read through the Baal Worship book that Pastor Peter put out in The Wars Galore, and I was going through it again, and on page 8 in Pastor Peter's book, Baal Worship, he talks about, you know, Israel, you know, forsook Yahweh, he turned to other gods, and now we'll have to go back to legislative, judicial, and the executive government. You know, God was the legislative one. He made the laws. He's also the judge, and he appointed judges like Moses to execute them. You know, to execute the laws. And, you know, I want to just bring that point up. And I also want to mention, we'll probably have to turn back to God again now, too, because it's going to be the last year they're going to be printing the Farmer's Almanac. You know, that was all out of the Bible and all watching nature and stuff, too. So I just want to, you know, mention that, though, about the government. One thing is that prices are going down, but still, I don't live without the government. You know, we don't need that, those up there in Capitol Hill, you know, to live. I've got a God. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So amen. There you go. Just a change of thought on a year or two, a little bit on that Farmer's Almanac thing. You know, the farmers used to watch the corn husks, the squirrel tails, the woolly pullies. You know, so I'll let you guys go. God bless you.
Thanks for calling, Warren. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Warren.
And it's as simple as that. 970-224-4203. That's the phone number to call in, and we'd like to hear from you.
Absolutely.
We'll go back to you, Will.
I don't remember what I was saying.
Well, we were just talking about the world conflict and stuff like that, the coming world conflict. I think that there's a lot to do with the timelines as well. I agree with you. I always look at the timelines on things, and you know, it's definitely interesting. You see it, you know, you see things happening, and we're seeing things happening all over the world. And you know, they're ramping up the hospitals, they're ramping up the, you know, being able to take care of the wounded. They're, you know, troops here, there, and everybody's training, you know, including the cartels. I mean, it's just, it's interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, same process, but the names have changed. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, and I go back to the whole red letter thing, you know, none of us should find this surprising. Our Savior told us this was the way it was going to be. And I think he told us this is the way it was going to be because he knew the enemy. And I go back to the idea, and this is really, the Holy Spirit's really been working on me this week about this, the whole red letter revival kind of idea. And I know I talked to Jason about this, but it's clearly defined. Jesus Christ clearly defined who the enemy was. He called them out for what they were and who they are. And he talked about their plans. He talked about what is going to happen, what their mission is on this planet, and what they foment, what they create, and what their purpose is. And when Jesus talked about there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, I think he was talking directly about the enemy and what they do here. Esau, Edom was condemned when Jacob was blessed, and that condemnation was that they would live by the sword all of the days of their life. But we know at the end they die by the sword also. And so when we see as Christians, as believers, as people of the book, when we see these wars, we hear these rumors of wars, we shouldn't be afraid because our Savior told us when we endure to the end, we will be saved, we will be blessed. So we need to prepare our lives spiritually and physically to endure to the end.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, and another little tidbit there on this World War thing is Hegseth just unveiled that new. Did you see the guys on the Agile Weapons Acquisition Reform that just happened here in the last day or so? You know, because he's like, well, we need access to, given the situation in the world. Now, if that's not telling somebody that things are ramping up, then you know, I mean, take it for what it is, but it sure looks that way to me. So,
yeah. Nope. I agree. That sure seems to be the way we're headed for doggone sure. And yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, just there's yeah, so many things that are taking place, and it's just you can see that, I don't know, you can see that unseen third hand take, moving stuff around and taking place, but it's also, you can see that God's hands are working as well. And, you know, I try to, you know, encourage people. It's you know, people are, and I think we got to really watch our words. I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this properly. We got to just be careful, because, you know, we say that the Jews are in control of this, the Jews are in control of that. You know, we got to remember that God's in control. And
yes, that's right.
Then, and, you know, stand on that and walk on that and, you know, and believe it. And, you know, they're trying to control everything, and I think that they have been in control to a degree, but it's our Heavenly Father who is ultimately in control. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and 100%, you're right, Jason, and don't take what I'm about to say that I'm arguing with you, but what we as Christians need to believe too is, the Jews, even though they're pulling strings and pulling levers, they don't pull our strings and they don't pull our levers as believers. Our mind and our spirit has been renewed in the blood of Christ.
Yes.
And they don't have power over us. And the only way that we allow them to have power over us is if we accept it. And that is coming out of the whore of Babylon, coming out from underneath her, is we may live in this system, but we are not of the system. And that is what we need to remember, is with the stuff happening around us, we are washed and protected in the blood. And that is what we have to call upon every day. They may control the world, but God has made a way that they don't control us.
Yeah. Very well put.
I was going to say influence versus control. They influence.
There you go.
But God controls.
That's right.
You know, they're out there doing their best to influence everyone into, and that's just it goes back to the garden. We, you know, Satan tempts us. That's influence. I mean, tempting is influence. That's not control. So when we definitely have those evil ones out there trying to twist and turn and spin and everything else, but God's in control, and they can't do anything without, you know, when we rely on Him, when we use Him for our wall, our defense, our filter, then we're safe and solid.
I think the enemy is most afraid of people seeing them for what they are. And I go back, I know Pastor Pete preached on it, and you know, the old movie from, I think it's from the 80s, They Live, of, you know, where they put on the sunglasses and they see these aliens among them, right? And they see what they're doing. Well, that is what the Holy Spirit does for us. And, you know, we know that through baptism, for the remission of sins, the gift is the Holy Spirit. And if you call upon that Holy Spirit, we're told that the Holy Spirit would be our helper. And if we call upon the Holy Spirit, then you begin, it's like the sunglasses. You begin to see the enemy for what they are. And I'm going to tell you, that is what they're most afraid of. They're not afraid of weapons. They're not afraid of swords. Remember, they live by the sword. They're not afraid of that. What they don't live in is truth. And that is what they're most afraid of, is the truth. And I mean biblically, scripturally accurate truth. And when we live by that, they shake in their boots. And they can't have that coming out. And that is why we're hurtling toward a world war. Because, Jason, you have said it time and time again recently. The truth is coming out. It's a brush fire right now that is starting to spread. More and more people are talking about the liberty. More and more people are talking about that Jewish power and influence and all that. And they can't have people seeing them for what they are. And so they will do everything up into to assassinating people to keep that truth from coming out.
Well, and that's what they just did. I mean,
that's exactly right.
And I really believe that. And I didn't plan on jumping into the Charlie Kirk deal again right now. But that's what they did with Charlie Kirk is I really believe that he figured out that the Jews are of the synagogue of Satan, just like it says in your Bibles in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. And it was going to be taught on the campuses. And they couldn't have it.
That's right.
I think that they feared that. They feared that truth coming out so much that they had to assassinate him.
Well, that's why they have to have things like Ministry of Truths, right? I know that sounds, but you remember the enemy is a mirror image of God, right? So we're talking about the truth that knows no time. The truth that has existed before there was time. So what did they do?
If they call it truth, it's a lie.
You're doggone right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So
if they got a ministry of truth, it's a ministry of lies. And you can take that to the bank. That's for sure.
Take it to the bank.
100% correct. So,
we talk about this hope and this awakening that's going on, and you know, I think we've seen a whole bunch of reversals here that I just feel like are from God. I mean, I think about the gender thing. Now they're going to have actual genders back on people's passports. The LGBTQ thing is really going down. I mean, it's circling the drain hard. We have men and women that are standing up for godly precepts. So you better not go in the bathroom with my daughter if you're some kind of fag, you know, or some kind of cross-dresser. This business of people divorcing their husbands or their wives because they voted the wrong way, and we don't need any men and all this kind of stuff. That stuff is all just, it's all just circling the drain. People are like, wait a minute, this is not working. And to me, that's nothing but that's God, divine intervention. You know, we're seeing that go on because it's happening all the way across the board, all over the place. We have people looking at schools going, they're teaching the wrong things. I seen one the other day that said, well, it's illegal to have tobacco advertisements on the side of a NASCAR, but having, you know, cross-dressing people reading queer books in the library to children is not supposed to make me want to do that. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of wake up going all over the place, and that's all from God. I mean, that's all. And to me, it's just like, wow. So this is the you know, backlash, and it's big.
I will tell you a couple of things just anecdotally of what you're talking about, Tim, and going back to small wins, right? So You have to be careful with polls because obviously polls are like modern science. You can massage them any way you want them to go. But two things that I saw that kind of came across the desk this week that I thought was interesting, talking about the transgender stuff. High school students in 1 year, 12 months, high school students that, you know, identified as transgender or non-binary or whatever, has been cut in half. Wow. In the United States, 50%. And, you know, obviously I'm going to look at that and say, praise God, you know, that is a moving of the Holy Spirit, that these deluded minds are not being deluded anymore and that sort of thing. Call it whatever it is, but it's a win.
Yep.
And the other thing too, and this is silly, what I'm about to say. And when I read it, I thought, who cares? And then I started thinking about it and I decided, well, I care. So I don't know anything about modern music, guys. I can't tell you anybody who is on the radio. This morning I was listening to Tom T. Hall. I don't know anything that is in modern music.
Because most of this stuff is crap.
It's trash.
Yeah.
It's trash.
Yeah.
So before breakfast time this morning, we were listening to Tom T. Hall. So, but this is a win. So the Billboard Top 40, all right, the record charts of the most popular 40 songs in the country, for the first time in 40 years, a rap song is not in the top 40.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's stupid. And the more I started thinking about it, the more I started thinking, well, hold on. That's a culture change. That is a change of culture. That it has been four decades that some kind of hip-hop rap song has appeared in the top 40 every week, 52 weeks out of the year, for the last 40 years. And this past week, it didn't. And I know that sounds silly, and there's probably people out there saying, what is this guy talking about? I think that's a win.
Yeah.
I think that means culture is changing.
Yeah. That's like a First Corinthians, 127 moment. You know, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, people are like, well, small win, small. No, that's the way God works. It's just, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And I think people are, we're seeing a return to godly values and to, the things that our forefathers and set up and understood. It really makes me smile. So I'm like, oh, that's cool. I mean, just like that. Who knew? So.
Who knew? Yep, for sure. I'll jump back real fast just because, Jason, you brought up the UK war games against Russia or, you know, practicing for Russia or whatever. In our own back door, something similar is going on too, just to, I guess, finish out the thoughts of wars and rumors of war. We have U.S. troops down in the jungles of Puerto Rico simulating war with Venezuela right now.
Gee whiz.
So,
I did see that. That's the other one that I was going to bring up. But I'm like, what? I mean, Venezuela?
Yep.
Really? Serious?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy. That's interesting about the music, though. I've talked to a lot of people recently, and they've commented. I can't believe how many times recently I've heard the same comment. It's that you got to turn the radio off. There's nothing to listen to. We do have one, station that's like a classic country station that plays some good music, but I mean, it's not that great, but. Anything else is just like they play the same songs over and over. It's like they got a five song cue that they put on repeat, and the stuff that's coming out is just stupid. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I feel like my dad, because some of this new stuff, I listen to it, and I'm like, I don't even know what they're saying. You know, I can remember my dad saying things like that when I was a kid.
I know.
Like, ah, Dad. But now I'm there. I'm like, I don't know. Okay.
I remember my dad and, you know, Pastor Peters and stuff, and they'd talk about, you'd be listening to something, and no, they just, you know, and it's like, man, I'm like you, Will. It's like Tom T. Hall and some of that stuff. It's like, that's when they, I mean, there was talent. There was good music back then.
This is true.
Oh, man. What do you think of this new New York mayor over there?
Wow.
I understand the New York Police Department is the mounted unit is trading their horses for camels.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to be able to afford those for much longer either.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, and I saw one headline, and I think it was, I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, this is interesting. It says New York City Mayor Zohran Mamandi is another controlled puppet funded by Jews who is being used to ramp up renewed Islamophobia propaganda. So at least there's some people that are seeing through the BS and, you know, calling it what it is. So that's encouraging.
It is. One other thing. Go ahead, Tim.
I thought it was interesting. I just, in the real estate markets, I noticed that Florida is kind of preparing for a major insurgence of New Yorkers. I mean, I guess big companies and lots of people who are able are just packing up and headed for Florida because it's like, we're out of here. But that was just a side note. Go ahead, Will.
No, I actually, this week, it's funny you say that, Tim. I had the opportunity to visit for a few minutes with a guy who runs a company down in Auburndale, Florida, and I do some business with, and just a brief conversation, and this was post of New York City election, and he said the same thing, that he said, man, we are scared to death of the invasion that's about to happen down here.
Happen.
He said,
really?
You know, we already have too. Oh yeah, he said we already have too many. He was calling them carpetbaggers, but he said, you know, we already have too many that come down here regularly. And he said they're going to invade us. He said this is. He talked about certain areas of Florida being, you know, New York South is all that it is, New York, New Jersey South. And he said they're going to come in droves now. He said, you know, because they're not going to want their money taken. They're not going to want their, like you were talking about, the real estate prices and stuff, Tim. And he said, yeah. He said, they're going to come here. And he said, we don't want them. We don't want them. We don't want their money. We don't. And like the story we hear, you know, you guys have experienced it, you know, especially in Colorado with the Californians coming. He said, because they come here and they want to make it New York City. You know, they don't come here with their money and, you know, want to be Floridians. They come here and try to make it New York City. And he said, we don't want them.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Florida. And this is the thing that I thought was funny that he said, because it sums it up. And you can substitute Coloradan for it if you want to. He said, do you know what makes Florida great? It's not the beaches. It's not sunshine. It's not the year-round great weather. It's that we're full of Floridians. Of people that are from here. You know, and he said, that's what makes it great. And he said, when they come, it's not great anymore, you know. And he said, we got no problem with it coming and leaving, you know, bring your money, spend your money and go home. And he said, but when they come here, he said, it's just no good. And I told him, I said, man, you can substitute that with any other state in the
United States. I was gonna say, you know, is that just
exactly. We've said the same thing on here more than time, you know. So it's like I found what I was reading. This was from Sotheby's International Realty, and she said, I'm not going to lie, I did not exactly think this was going to happen. I thought this guy was going to win, talking about whatever his name is up there in New York City, and I thought our market was going to pick up, but I didn't think it was going to happen the next morning. She said, it's 3 or 4 o'clock, and I've literally been on the phone since 7 a.m. nonstop, back-to-back call. Yeah. So she said it's like they literally blew off like a firecracker. And it's, you know, Palm Beach, I guess, is blowing up. And Boca Raton's kind of the same way, but it just sounds like, wow. So,
well, Boca Raton is the sixth borough of New York City. It's full of New Yorkers. Yeah. So, interesting. Just, and we don't have to talk about it. I know we're getting to the top of the hour, but on this Zoran, whatever, madman, interesting. I watched about a 10-minute video early this morning. There's a guy that I follow who is a South African who puts out great material. His name is William Petzer. You can get him on YouTube. And he had a great perspective on this election of this mayor. And his perspective is people in New York City need to take a good long look at Johannesburg, South Africa. Because that's what you're about to be. And he detailed the background of this Mandami guy and how, because remember, Mandami is an African. He's a Muslim and he looks like an Indian, but he's from the continent of Africa. And I think Uganda is where he's from. He's a Ugandan by birth. And this William Petzer guy said this guy was educated by the same communist who controls South Africa, and he's got the same playbook, and it's what he's going to do to New York City. So I thought that was an interesting perspective from someone who's not an American, who's not a New Yorker, just on the outside looking in. And he pretty much said, remember what I told you in about 10 years, because that's what this is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's interesting.
Another day, another psyop.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back for another hour right after this song.
Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights. Of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land. Letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. The spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution.
American Revolution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The Second American Revolution today.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the SFA WBN. And the phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. And we will go back to you, man.
I've seen that Pelosi's gone or pulling in her horns and I don't know, going out to pasture or however you want to put it. But that made me smile. So
the first thing I thought was maybe a house will fall on her, like the wicked witch of the West.
Yeah, you know? What, she's been in Congress for what, like 400 years now?
Yeah.
Something. I don't know.
Somebody said she was... I heard somebody say she was born in, like, what was it, 1786 or something? That kind of, I was like, oh, I get it, yeah. Older than dirt, but it's like, okay.
Been in politics my whole life, that's for sure.
Yes. Happened to look at that.
I heard something, and I didn't believe it, because I hadn't heard it before. I was listening to a podcast last night and, I heard this blurb. They were talking about Nancy Pelosi and I heard this and I said, that is ridiculous. And then I went and looked it up and it's true that, you know, she flew privately, back and forth between California and Washington, D.C. And through some Freedom of Information Act request, this reporter found out that in a 12-month time frame, this is about the booze. Did you hear about this, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Her booze bill.
We might even have talked about it.
Did we talk about this? $55,000.
Yeah.
In 1 year?
In one year.
Oh, gee whiz. Yeah.
Am I correct on that, Tim?
It was ridiculous. I don't remember whether it was 1 year, but I know there was one particular trip where she had her family in there drinking and all her friends, and it was like regular party.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a lot of booze.
So yes.
That's probably why she looks like an old work glove.
I keep thinking that it's like I saw Pelosi pop up in the news the other day, and I'm like, "What, did she die finally?" I keep thinking that, but I've been thinking that for years. That it's like, man, that old hag's gonna die one of these days.
Interestingly enough, and I'll tie this back to the New York City guy. I think what you're seeing is because she announced this right after the New York City guy got elected mayor. My opinion is this is the ushering out of the old guard liberals, the socialists, and what you're going to see is the ushering in of the new guard communists. I think they're going, Nancy Pelosi, for all of her faults, I wouldn't call her a full-blown communist. But I think the AOCs and the ones that are going to be taking her place are full-blown communists. I think that's what we're going to see.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, and I pulled a Doge, one of the Doge statements up, and according to them, over her last 28 years, she spent over $1.6 million on alcohol.
Oh my gosh.
How much?
$1.6 million.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah. So,
wow. That's crazy.
I bet she had a healthy lobby check from the Distillers of America Association.
Yeah. And the wine growers.
The wine growers. That's
It said that the funds were meticulously allocated for the finest champagnes, rare scotches, and artisanal liquors for diplomatic receptions, fundraising galas, and the occasional tense budget negotiation. Because we all know there's nothing to smooth things over with people on that. Just, you know, get them hammered, and then it's easy. So it's like, wow. And
how much, Tim? 1. What?
$1.6 million. So yeah, over the last 28 years. I don't know. That's according to a Doge audit.
And that's federal money that paid for that, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
That's golly.
Yeah, that's just.
Well, I mean, thanks for making me mad this morning, Tim. That made me even more mad. Golly.
Well, it's one of those things, honestly. You know, what could, yeah, somebody, that's life altering money for someone. And it obviously was there too, right? But anyways, that's kind of a strange thing.
Well, talking about California and with Nancy Pelosi fading out into the sunset like the old hag that she is, I guess California voted on Tuesday and they're redistricting California, and it looks like they're going to probably add 5 more Democrat seats to the House. I don't know if y'all saw that.
I did not.
Yeah.
I heard something about it. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to stack the House of Representatives.
Well, that just surprises us to the point we got to sit down that California would do something like that, and particularly that he would do something like that. You know, jumping back to New York City thing. Another thing I read about Zoran, and I don't know whether this is true or not. I don't have anything independent, but I heard there was an investigation ongoing currently from the federal level that he had lied on some of his application stuff. He hasn't been a citizen of the U.S., but what, like 7 years, I think it is, or
very short
something
time.
Like that.
Yeah, very short time.
And so there's a pretty major investigation going on that. He may actually get thrown out on his ear if he
can. You imagine how ballsy it would be? What kind of strife would that cause if ICE goes into New York City and deports their newly elected mayor?
That would be all right.
I don't know.
That'd cause a riot. I mean, darn right.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd burn the city down.
That may be the Fort Sumter moment that kicks all this off. And I guess the question becomes is, would they do it? I mean, like you say, Tim, if it comes back and he lies on his application and yeah, you know, he falsified some document or whatever, are they going to have the stones to say, well, sorry, we get it. You were elected, but doesn't matter.
We don't care. You weren't allowed. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So you should have never been on the ticket in the first place.
Well, and it just seems like, and maybe it's just because I didn't look at New York news very much, but it seems like this guy just popped up into the news like, what, like a couple of months ago? I mean, that's the first time I'd heard of this camel jockey.
Yeah, same here. Same here, yeah. I was like, who? So, yeah, very, very strange, isn't it? Yeah, it's definitely some PSYOP stuff going on with that, so... And really, let's be honest, did New York have any choices for mayor? I mean, you know, I mean, Trump's out there. He's actually, given Cuomo an endorsement. It's like, wow, man. I mean, talk about zero options. Do you want bad or worse? You know, I mean,
oh, man, so, I know.
Yeah. Jason, you mentioned reading the New York newspapers, the New York News or whatever, and it just made me think, just as a brief moment to laugh, I had an uncle back in Georgia who despised the Yankees so much that he took the New York Times just so he could read the obituaries.
Ooh, that's funny.
That must be a big section in the paper, man.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Well, that's That's, we talk about California a lot, but New York is absolutely, it's so bad, you don't even know how to talk about it sometimes. I mean, that's the things that go on over there.
It's the belly of Babylon. That's for doggone sure.
Yeah. So.
One more thing on this New York City guy. I found it interesting that, you know, here's this communist Muslim that came out of nowhere, sounds like Barack Obama, number one. Number two, it's interesting that he sat down prior to the election, I think it was sometime last week, and got the endorsement of the leading Jewish rabbi in New York City.
Wow. Yeah.
And you would stop and think, how does that happen, right? I mean, Netanyahu wants you to believe that these Muslims, they all, you know, they hate the Jews and they're going to destroy it. Or is it maybe that they just want to foment more chaos inside New York City, because that's going to be a springboard for the rest of the country, right? I don't know. You would think that the lead Jewish rabbi in New York City probably would be silent on this one, that he probably wouldn't speak in favor of this dude, but he sure as heck did.
Yeah. Yeah. Which puts us back into the PSYOP, you know, situation again. Like, what are they? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and in the past, I would have said that, okay, there had to have been, you know, it was a monetary, it was a money deal, but anymore, I don't think that it is. I think it's, what you said, Will, I think it's to cause chaos. I think that there's got to be that, you know, sowing those seeds of dissension, you know, funding both sides of a war, or, you know, it's be like, okay, you know, we're going to put you in here and we're going to let you have this position, but you're going to do something for us. And, there's definitely something.
Yeah, our enemy's playbook, they've got to light the fire somewhere here in the United States. The fuse has to be lit somewhere.
Yeah.
They've tried with George Floyd. They've tried. They're trying now with these SNAP benefits. You know, all of this kind of, they're trying. They're kicking hornet's nest to see which ones are full, and they just haven't swarmed out yet. And I, to me, this is what that looks like. Because what I see personally, and I'm going to throw this out, I think you're going to see an ICE moment inside New York City, or there's going to be something where you're going to have this New York City mayor facing down Donald Trump's feds. And I don't know if he'll move National Guard, and I don't know what it'll look like, but it'll get national and international attention. And, I think they want New York City to burn. I think they want it to riot. If you really stop and think about it, you know, we've seen Chicago, we've seen Portland, we've seen Seattle, we've seen these other countries or other cities, Minneapolis, whatever the case may be. We haven't really seen that in New York City. And I think it's coming. And I think New York City, anybody that's ever been to New York City or knows about New York City, there are so many people that are so compact in on that, you know, those five boroughs. You get something started there, it will go quick. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they do. I won't.
Yeah, for no doubt. For all we know, it could have been a thing as they helped him get elected. They gave him their blessing, so to speak. And then they turned around and leaked the fact that he lied on his application. You know, that may be that that Tinder and that match, like what you're saying, Will. And, yeah, they're definitely stirring the pot. So, but I think they ought to be worried about having to lick the spoon, because it's huge. I mean, what's going on there?
No doubt. No doubt. Well, Jason, you mentioned it earlier. Do you want to talk about some revelations that have come out about Charlie Kirk since we're sitting here talking?
Absolutely.
Open her up. Let's go with it.
Well, you know, there's so many things that have happened, and I don't know. There's now, I'm not saying that I know exactly what happened or anything like that. And I don't want to act like I do. I just know that what they're telling us is not the truth. That's for darn sure. And, I really do believe that, and I followed, been following Charlie Kirk for a long time, and you know he was he'd been out here to the University of Wyoming just recently, and he was you know just a couple days after he was supposed to be after he was assassinated, he was supposed to be here in Colorado at Colorado State University, and was planning on attending that. And, you know, it just he had, you know, an awakening, I guess is a good way to put it. But his eyes became open. I really believe that he was a person that tried his best. And when he had truth, he wanted to share it. And I think that he did have a love for the truth. And I believe that his eyes became open to, you know, the state of Israel and who they were and to the Jews. And that, you know, that they were not, that, you know, he'd been sold a bill of goods, so to speak. And it happened from everything from his, you know, he was going to have Tucker Carlson at one of his, meetings. And he was told that if you do that, and it was from the Jewish lobby, that if you do that, we're going to pull funding from it. And it was to the tune of a couple million dollars. I think it was $2 million. And, you know, he said no. He said, I'm going to have Tucker Carlson there. And they took millions of dollars away from his fund. And it wasn't just about the money. It was about them, you know, trying to suppress truth. And I really believe that that's what happened. I believe that he became aware of it. I think that there was a lot of things that he was becoming aware of, and that they were very concerned about, you know, being taught on campuses. And I think that it's one of those things, because I think that it was one of those things that it would have, I think it would have gone viral. I think it would have, you know, just continued to gain momentum. And you look at how deep this conspiracy runs. I really believe that looking at some of the information and stuff, that it was set up that his wife, I believe that is, you know, him meeting his wife and getting set, getting married to her and everything like that, was a complete and total control setup to have somebody on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've mentioned on here, if you look at the love story or the story of how they've met, I've lost track. I think, what are there, three or four different versions that have been told since his death? You know, this is not Charlie Kirk telling the story. It's others telling the story, including his wife, Erica, of where they met, how they met. It was either in Israel, or it was at an airport, it was at a coffee shop. It's been all over the place. Just that one little tidbit to me is telling. Jason, I'm sure you could tell me where you met your wife. Tim, I'm sure you can tell me where you met your wife. And I'm sure your wives could probably tell others where they met you. It shouldn't be that hard to keep that story straight.
No, pretty simple.
Simple. Yeah.
Well, it's something about Erica Kirk just from the beginning, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I mean, this is something bothered me about her from the beginning. I mean, first time started seeing her right after, and I'd seen her, you know, before Charlie died, but, you know, bits and pieces, and, you know, is more of a picture of this and that when he's, you know, talking about his wife or something like that. But when she started getting in front of that camera and stuff in the and getting blasted all over the news, something just did not, it didn't feel right. There was something wrong about it. Something was just, I just had this, and it was a gut feeling that, you know, there's way more to this story than they're letting out. And that was, you know, that was my feeling about the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's a fairly shallow backstory, because when you start reading into it, there's so much left out and so much misdirection there that it's got to make your hair stand up or your question marks pop out, you know, as far as like, well, that's just, there's a lot of weird things there in regards to who she was, where she came from, and who her family was. And you look at the fact that just shortly after being crowned, she was up in front of there's photos out there, of her doing things in front of some government contractors, statements and different things like that. So she was deeply involved in some of those elements. And so, as you begin to delve into it, it really not only can you not get a straight story on how she met Charlie or what their love life was like or anything else, the other thing you get is a lot more questions about who her family is or where they came from. Or it's just very vague and a lot of whole stuff.
There's a lot of information coming out right now about her mother, and you'll have to forgive me. I don't have it in front of me. I've had some technological glitches, so I'm going off of memory. But with her mom, and to the best of my recollection, I think Erica, Charlie Kirk's wife, was raised without a father. She was raised with just a home with just her mother. And strangely enough, her mother appears in some WikiLeaks documents from Snowden, because she was, at the very least, a defense contractor that worked on the technology side of some defense contractors that were aligned with foreign interest. Dealing with the United States and that sort of thing. And I'm really doing this off memory, so you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there is something like 20 different names, aliases for her mother that you can find in open source information and in some of these WikiLeaks documents and that sort of thing. So that in a very just that, I'm going to, I'll stop again and say, there is this portrayal of this, beauty queen, small town Arizona girl kind of thing. Well, I know a lot of small town girls and their parents, usually have the same name. They don't have 20 different names. And their parents also didn't appear in like WikiLeaks documents dealing with national defense and international relations and that sort of stuff. So, Jason, to go along with what you're saying, it really starts building the picture of what really is going on here. How did they just, accidentally meet and this sort of stuff? And what is really the backstory of who this person is, this person being Erica? And I will stop and say this. We may not ever know what the backstory is of who this person really is. Although there's lots of people out there that are devoting a lot of time to dig this stuff up and put it out there if you're willing to look for it. But what I will say is we know what Turning Point USA is starting to look like after Charlie Kirk's death and after Erica Kirk has taken the lead as the CEO, as the executive director of Turning Point USA. So we know that Candace Owens came out and said she has these text messages where Charlie Kirk was talking about what you were talking about, Jason, inviting Tucker Carlson and maybe even inviting her, Candace Owens. And Turning Point USA very quickly said that is all BS, that is not true, that never happened. Charlie Kirk was adamant on his support for the state of Israel up until the point that Candace Owens released the text messages, and then they had to dial that back, and, they spun it their way. That whole Ministry of Truth thing, right, Tim? Yeah. Like, they had their own Ministry of Truth going of trying to explain this away. Well, what we know is on his dying day, because those text messages came, a week, 2 weeks before his death, Charlie Kirk had started questioning what the state of Israel was doing, and he, in his own words, was talking about he can't support the state of Israel. We also have evidence from friends, acquaintances, members of Turning Point USA, where Charlie Kirk talked about Benjamin Netanyahu being a monster, and he did not like the man and did not like being around him. So you start looking at all of this, and now look at what Turning Point USA is doing under Erica Kirk,
right,
that they are not honoring Charlie Kirk. by his change at the end of his life, now they're going full throttle in the opposite direction of where it is Israel first, not the United States first, Israel first. They are bolstering up. They are using Turning Point USA as a arm of the state of Israel. And Jason, what you were talking about of, you know, you can't, Israel knew they can't have the universities, the college campuses, and the truth getting out about where, what they are, who they are, what they're doing. And that came to a screeching halt, but all of a sudden, the narrative has turned to where TPUSA and all of that money that the Jews invested in that organization is now, they're getting what they paid for. Someone had to die for it. But they're getting what they paid for. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at this, an insider, now it's anonymous, but an insider from TPUSA, Turning Point USA, has come out and said that Erica Kirk, who was a powerful woman when it came to Turning Point USA, even when Charlie Kirk was alive, she was a business partner as much as she was a wife, that Erica Kirk gave a security stand down on the day at the Utah Valley University when Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, that a security stand down order came from Erica Kirk herself. And I know at least these three men that the folks that are listening to us are hearing, we have talked privately of, how did this happen? This guy should have had incredible security. You know, he had all the money that could buy the best security. We know, we were told, you know, former special forces guys and that sort of thing. How was this lapse of security possible? Well, there's a Turning Point USA insider saying it's possible because Erica Kirk stood those people down, repositioned those people into places that were more advantageous for a sniper's bullet to hit Charlie Kirk. So I don't know about any of this. This is all me just talking, but it sure seems like something's there, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and just an example of how they continue to spin things or attempt to capitalize on these tragedies. I mean, I just read inquiries about new Turning Point chapters of sorts since Kirk's death. They've received over 60,000 inquiries to start new campus chapters. So they currently have 3,500 chapters on college campuses and in high schools across the nation. And Bob's Aubrey Hudson, the president of the Turning Point chapter of Brigham Young University, her quote just, I don't know, I might be taking it out of context, but to me it just left me kind of going, whoa. But she said, that's the beautiful part of this tragedy, that this movement, Turning Point, is exploding, she said. And it's like, yeah, it's blowing up all right. But, you know, I think that, yeah. And we heard Tucker Carlson, he did an interview with Charlie there at some point. I don't know who was interviewing him, I don't remember, but he, you know, Charlie was talking about the fact of Israel being creating problems for them financially and through their, you know, trying to dictate rhetoric and everything else. And at that particular point, I think that was a little earlier on before he actually kind of cemented his idea that he was going to have to get away from that situation. But he was making that noise, and they knew that. The problem is once you begin to see that, he may not have been anti-Israeli at that particular point, but once you begin to see the kinks in the armor and begin to see the things that are going on, it's not long, and the conclusion is inevitable. So I think they cut their losses while they could. That's my opinion.
Well, and I think that, I just wanted to read a headline here real quick. TPUSA announces they will not honor Charlie Kirk's legacy by abandoning Israel First. And it goes on to say, Turning Point USA has officially confirmed what many feared. The organization will not honor slain founder Charlie Kirk's legacy. Instead of following the path of independence from Israel that Kirk had begun carving out in the final months of his life, the group has announced a return to its Israel First stance, the very position Kirk had begun to denounce. So, I mean, it's getting out there, and people are understanding that. And I think that that's what it was. I've seen a lot of videos, and I've had people send them to me, and I'd seen them before. And it was, you know, Charlie Kirk, and it was, you know, years ago, and he was supporting Israel. And, you know, I know I've seen it, and he was. But I really believe that he changed and had an awakening. We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin.
Well, doing
hey,
pretty
Kevin.
Good. Hi there, Will. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Kevin.
I've never seen Mrs. Kirk before, and when this happened and she went on that stage. I've never seen, she had all kinds of jewelry on her hand. I don't know what kind of that message that sends, but she had diamond rings and all kinds of fancy things that I don't know. I had second thoughts about. This thing about the Gold Star mother, Tina Peters, have you seen that they recommend she's going to go to a federal penitentiary now?
I did not see that, no.
Yeah, they want to remove her from the state penitentiary, have her do her term in the federal penitentiary. Wow. I think that's just a slam. How she can still be doing it. All she was doing was doing the right thing.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this mayor thing in New York, I'm surprised. You say he's from Uganda?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Yeah, all I know about him is his parents, they're millionaires. I did read that. But I really believe this is a jihad. You know, they fought the Holy Wars for 500 years, and that was after 500 years of the ragheads, the Muslims, invading and stealing in Europe and all over, all the way up, that they were fighting up in all European countries. The last ones were the ones out of Northern Africa that went into Spain. And it took 500 years of the Holy Wars to kick them out, finally. And that's what I think this is. It's a foothold. They're calling him a commie. I don't see it that way. I see it as a jihad. Is that Isaac and Ishmael, right? That wild ass,
yep.
And Hagar's son. And the way God set it up. And I can't understand that because we don't have his understanding. What do you gentlemen think?
I would agree with you.
Well,
I think that it's
the one thing that I would say, Kevin, is I personally believe that there has been an aligning of international communism with Islamism. And I know that it seems like those things are opposed to one another, but it's what's referred to a lot as the Green and Red Alliance. And I think those people that created communism, which is our enemy, the Jew, we know time and time again that they have used Muslims for their own benefit. And I think that I know that they created communism, that they are the ones who have used communism throughout the world. And I think they are using the Islamists to conquer certain parts of the world. And I do believe that the guy is a communist and an Islamist. And I think the reason that's important is he's doing the bidding of those people who created communism, but he's using the Islam hat, if you want to say that, to bring in more and more followers, because there's a lot of Muslims in New York City, And I think they may not quite know about that communist alliance, but I think those people that are pulling the strings, I think that is a real thing, Kevin.
I agree with you very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's funny, I've talked to you about the Indians' influence in Canada before and all that. And I don't know how Alex Jones got this, but he's got an article up, No Poop for You, YouTuber Scraps Documentary mm-hmm. on Indian Poop this Festival after Indian Backlash Threats Doxing. Yeah, people are becoming aware of that influence. I mean,
they're filthy people.
Pardon me?
I said they are filthy people.
They are very filthy. They're extremely filthy.
Yeah.
And it's the other influence on our country. They have their own system. Them, the Muslims, they don't do business. And the aliens from south of border, they don't do business with American businesses. They set up their own communities. They don't contribute. They buy within each other. They have their own products shipped here to sell to each other, foods, clothing, and all that junk. And what a dupe society we are, I mean, in general. And I just... I don't worry because the Lord says not to worry, just wait. And it's very interesting. It's very, yeah. very interesting.
Well, I think it's significant when you know, we talk about Muslims, we talk about all these alliances and you know, cooperations, but when you move the words to Christ and Antichrist or to Christian and Antichrist, then it suddenly gets a lot clearer. The water's less muddy. I mean, they don't serve Christ, so they don't have any trouble working together for their own end, you know? So,
right.
Right, 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 yeah.
One of the common things there, Kevin, and I think this is the one thing that I would say, I guess, to put a point on this is the old saying that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And if you look at the Islamist and you look at the communist and fill in the blank for whoever the next guy might be, the Hindus for that matter, there is a common enemy there, and it's Jesus Christ. And those people that are called by his name, Christ tells us that we will be hated by all men for his name. And if you look at that, I think that kind of fulfills that saying of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so that's the reason why I think it's a pretty ready-made theme. If you get the Islamists aligning with the communists aligning with the whoever else, the key factor is that they hate Christendom. They hate the city on a hill. They hate America. And they hate how we were founded and what we stand for, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure we're wiped off the face of the earth. And that's what they want.
I agree with you there, too. Yeah, real good. Yeah.
Derek, he chimed in. He sent me a message and said, same as Chinese here in Canada. They have their own economy within Canada, and it's real.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I saw that going through British Columbia, you know. And what for the Indians, what gas station or motel or hotel do you ever go to that isn't Indian run? Every one of them. 7-Elevens. All of
them. Yeah.
Thank you for
smell
yeah.
when you walk into the work.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I turned one into the health department once a little over a year ago. I went into a gas station, paid for gas, and this Indian's running around barefooted. You know what I'm saying? He's running the place. And I'm saying, what are you doing with no shoes on? He goes, oh, I have an allergy. I called the health department. It's right up the street in the county. And the next week he was wearing shoes. I'm glad I did that. Oh, well.
Well, thanks for calling, Kevin.
Thank you. Good day.
Bye. And it's...
Well, and I...
Go ahead, Tim.
Go ahead, Tim. I know that it's going to come to naught because God says it is, but from their point of view, militarily speaking or tactically speaking, we see Houston, we see Dearborn, we see New York, we see Southern California. These are all hubs of either industry or shipping and transportation, and we see these places being covered up with these aliens, you know, these locusts that God says that he's going to take out, parasites. I mean, so, yeah, it's coming. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
At least they're all grouped up in certain places.
Something to, I just want to throw this out there. You know, obviously it's a big deal because it's happening in the United States right now. And I hate to keep talking about this cat in New York City, but, you know, we're making a big deal. And it is a big deal that this guy got elected. But if you stop and think about it, London has had a Muslim Pakistani mayor for a few years now. Also, there's a couple of fairly major cities in Germany where they have Muslim mayors of I think they're Syrian that have gotten themselves elected in you know mid-sized cities, you know, 200,000-300,000 people there in Germany. So obviously it's a big deal. New York City has a lot of people that's represented there. It's a huge place. But if you really stop and start looking, this is a trend. This is not something that you hear about because you don't know necessarily where these places are. But they're getting themselves elected into positions of power over us. And that is, in my opinion, on purpose, like you were talking about, Tim. I mean, to me, it's a war footing. Is they're wedging themselves into positions of power to control things like economy and transportation and the police forces or whatever. And, I think that's by design. I think it's planned.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that, Well, this is it's old hat, really, systematic takedown. You know, you take over infrastructure, you take over administration and everything else. It's just, we've talked about it before, it's an asymmetric warfare technique. And you create confusion and panic and break down economies. I mean, I think this economic damage that's, you know, think about all the stink being brought up by the this SNAP thing. You know, I mean, so to me, it's just I read through that, and it's just insane that we're feeding, you know, one out of what is it, eight, I think, people. And these folks, the more you study into it, these aren't people that need help today or next week. These are people who have been on this system for 20 years. You know, I mean, it has become it's actually part of the budget. It's part of their everything else. So they have been inundated with government aid, and they've been neutralized as far as being of any use to your country or any use to your people. You know, when people are on the dole, they say or do whatever they need to say or do to get more dole. You know, that's
amen.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
I had the interesting thought this week, Tim, that, you know, we used to talk about trust fund babies, right? Those are people that never have to work. They get a check every month from the dividends of whatever investments their grandfathers made or whatever, and they're free to go about life at being as lazy as they want to be, because they're always going to have food on the table and a roof over their head. And I started thinking, well, that's just welfare. You know, we have created a trust fund baby system for 40, 50, 60 million people, however how many that you want to say are on there, depending on the numbers. They're nothing more than trust fund babies, but the problem is we're the ones funding the trust fund.
Yeah. That's it. There's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff going on all around us, but I think it's coming at the very least, even if it's not coming to a screeching halt, it's certainly we're becoming aware of it, and people aren't real happy about it.
Well, we keep talking about little wins, and I'll just say this. I don't have the news story in front of me, but I know that it happened. I think it was yesterday. There was a big push in some of the lower federal courts to force this administration to start paying out some SNAP funds, at least partial funding or something like that. And I guess a higher court, maybe Tim, maybe you know, I don't know, but a higher court stepped in and reversed that decision and said, though, the executive branch can still halt these funds, that they don't have to pay them out. Which is a win. I mean, that's I believe in federalism, and I believe in how this country was set up, and I think the executive has the power to do that, and I think the court sided with that, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. The Supreme Court, I think, ruled yesterday on an emergency hearing basis that the lower court had ruled that they had to pay out the funds. Of course, I don't know where they were going to come from. There are emergency funds set aside for November, but I think they're limited to like 20 or 30%. But the Supreme Court, on an emergency basis, ruled that they have to pay those funds out, which they were going to do anyways. But that's it. So, you know, there you go. So, no free lunch.
Yep.
Someone
always pays for the sandwich. That's for sure.
And when we look at all these things that are going on across our country right now, it's like the other thing that always strikes me in the back of my mind that continues to leave me. It's just one of those thought processes, is the fact that, by the way, they're operating at a deficit. They don't have any money anyway. So,
right.
It's like, and I think that was an Obama era appointed judge who'd ruled that they had to pay it. You know, the simple word is with what?
Right.
So, but yeah, they don't have any. I was looking at, you know, and we talk about all this Orwellian stuff, you know, talking about 1984 and different things like that. And one of the things that came across that I seen the other day that was interesting and kind of coming soon to a place near you, if you don't keep your head up, was the fact that one of the news anchors in UK had mentioned the word pregnant women, and she lost her job because she didn't say pregnant people. And then just a few hours ago, Martine Croxall, who's another, she's with BBC, she was talking about pregnant people, and she used the word pregnant people on the air, but she's being called on the carpet because they didn't like her facial expression when she said it. So, you know, how distorted is that? You've heard of somebody not holding their mouth right or something when they say something. Well, you know, over there they've actually got evidently that kind of thought policing going on. So
they call the Ministry of Truth.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, what?
We've got a lot of miles out of that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. We are riding that one hard this morning.
Yeah. I'm glad no one's watching my facial expressions. That's probably a good thing.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah.
I see that.
Are y'all ready for the cold? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I noticed somebody had mentioned that the farmer's something. We were talking a little bit about the Farmer's Almanac earlier, and they're calling it quits after this year. 200 years. It's the oldest annual periodical in the United States, but they're folding up, I guess. So that's kind of.
I'm a Farmer's Almanac guy. I buy one every year.
I do too.
And I mean, I'm a Farmer's Almanac guy. My grandparents always had one around. My grandfather. I'm sure y'all have seen him with a hole up in the upper left corner that you can hang him up. Have you?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's yeah. And my granddad always had one in the shop, you know, hanging up, and that was a thing. And I do the same thing every year. I guess this will be my last year of buying one. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, you could learn all kinds of neat things in there. I mean, there was lots of interesting stuff in it. It's just another one of those, sad to see it goes. I don't know if it's because of online business or what's going on. I mean, but, I never heard any reasons that they were calling it quits. Did you guys hear anything about that? I mean, just.
I did not.
Sales and readership. Sales and readership is what I got. Yeah, that it just is no longer cost effective to print them and put them out. No one's buying them. So that's
well, it wasn't because of us.
That's shame.
We're doing our part.
No. Yeah. That's the truth.
You know, and a lot of people, you know, I mean, call it hocus pocus or whatever, but I know that when we and growing up, you know, castrating calves. If we checked the almanac and, you know, looked at, you know, the dates, certain dates for castration, it was remarkably different. We would have you if you didn't do it, if you did it by the almanac, you would have calves that you would castrate. And we always used a knife we always believe that, you know, they healed up faster and it was a lot less stressful on them. And, but you would have them where some of them would hardly bleed at all. I mean, you'd get, you know, a couple drops of blood. And if you did not do it by, I've been around it where we didn't do it around, you know, by the almanac or, you know, not by the almanac, but by the recommended days. And I mean, they would be bleeding. Like there's ones that, you know, you thought they were going to bleed to death when you castrated them. I mean, you know, blood all the way down their legs, just running out. I mean, just like gushing. It's like, you know, I mean, there was some that I had to, you know, put wound dressing on them just to try to get the bleeding to slow down. I mean, there was no getting it stopped. And it was, you know, it's you know, the real deal. And I've done experiments. Go ahead.
No, along those lines. And exactly what you're saying is, growing up, you know, my grandparents, they planted anything that was a calcium feeding fruit, or vegetable, like your nightshades, tomatoes, potatoes, anything like that, eggplant, they planted by the lunar cycle in the almanac.
Yep.
And that was the go-to. And the reason is if you, blossom end rot, which is a big thing in tomatoes and plants like tomatoes, if you plant by the lunar cycle, you get a thicker cell wall in the final fruit. And I'm not going to pretend to talk about what you're talking about, Jason, but I guarantee you it has to do with the cycle of tides, which is affected by the lunar cycle of, the blood flow within that animal. I promise you that that's what that has to do with. And like you said, it may sound like hocus pocus and witchery. What I call that is my grandparents would have just said that's life. That's how you right. live your life. You learn, you know, and I go back just real quick. That is the Genesis plan for human beings. God intended our people to be tillers of the earth. We were supposed to have dominion over it. We were supposed to know about the green things and the animals that we were supposed to tend. And that is generational knowledge that is being lost year after year. So we need to do everything we can to make sure that we have those resources available to us, because it works. It really works.
Well, yeah, and I had somebody ask one time about that, you know, don't you think that's just witchcraft or this or that? And I was like, well, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every matter mm-hmm. under heaven. So, it's not that way. God set it up that way. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. and he even told us he set it up that way. So,
that's right.
And yep. the proof's in the pudding. I mean, same thing here. You could tell. I mean, I can remember as a young man, we dug graves, you know, at the cemetery, and you know, there were certain times for filling in of holes. You could dig a hole and put the vault or basket in. When you fill it in, you had to haul dirt in. Other times you had dirt jet all along, you know. I mean, it was just one of those kind of that's the way it was. And it was about things like gravitational pulls and different things like that. It was just those seasons. So there you go. Yeah, we definitely use the almanac a lot.
Yeah, I think I've heard it called a lot of different things, but I think that it was, you know, I mean, I think that there is a science behind it, and I think that it's, you know, stuff. I mean, there's how many laws that do we know about that God put into existence that we don't know about? You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Well, and I've got to be careful what I say because I know we're getting to the end, but there is a difference between science and nature's law.
Right.
And that's, you know, and that's the big thing is there's lots of science out there that would make you think that nature's law is a bunch of bunk and hocus pocus. And that's because they want to get you further and further away from God Almighty, of nature's God.
Yep. Yeah. He set those things in order.
That's right.
The sun, the moon, the season. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, well, we are wrapping up. We got a couple minutes left. I guess let's wrap it up. Prepper tip of the week. Anybody got anything that they've wanted to talk about for that?
Well, I was
go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead, Will. No, you go. You go.
No, go ahead.
You got it.
All I was going to say is cold weather is coming. I don't know if you guys saw that Sunday night, Tuesday, I think there's a huge Canadian Arctic blast that's going to hit the majority of the country.
Yes, yeah. I did. And then it looks like it might warm back up again. So we'll see.
I feel like to some degree it's already been here. I can remember here the other day I was digging out some heavier coats going, okay, that's the, but yes, absolutely. One of the other prepper tips I was going to mention was the fact that a lot of times people don't think about their animals, you know, in regards to power outages or to transportation delays or issues, you know, and you, especially if you're farm or ranch, but even city folks, you know, your driveway alert, dogs or things like that. And, you know, think about them a little bit too. You might want to have some extra stuff for them. But that was
good tip.
Right, quick.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. I love my dogs, and it is a good idea to if you're laying away for yourself, you know, you may want to lay away for them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a situation like that, you know, in an emergency situation, having those dogs around could be a really important resource.
That's right.
You know, it powers out this and that. You know, that's one thing. I'll tell you what, I got a Rottweiler, and she is a good dog. And just a dog, but she's a good dog. And I know, and it's, I sometimes I just wonder, it's like, how can she know, I sense something, you know, that is, you know, approaching the chicken coop in the middle of the night when she's at the completely other end of the house and the wind's blowing. And I mean, it is remarkable, you know, but that dog will, you know, let me know if anything is going near that chicken coop. And I don't know if she can smell it, because I don't think she can.
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others, send